Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Seed technology continues to be the number one most important decision that a farmer is making every single year. It's the only technology that delivers year over year consistent yield benefits to the growers.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to a special edition of Ag Bioscience, this time from San Francisco at World Agritech, one of the largest ag innovation conferences in the world. Here with two attendees, one just stepping off stage, Brooke Cunningham, Chief Strategy Officer Corteva. Brooke, great to see you.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Rob Dunkoski, Food and Agribusiness Partner at Kearney, joins us as well. Rob, amazing to see you.
Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, we have a lot to unpack. We are at the Friends of Indiana reception. It is fun to see everybody. It's like old home week out on the West Coast. One of the things that's always amazing about these conferences is, look, Brooke, you were on stage. It's always stage content's good, but it's the conversations that happen in the hallways with investors and entrepreneurs and executives. Always gives kind of a sense for what's happening in the industry. It gives us a bit of perspective on just overall sentiment. Brooke, we'll start with you. What are you hearing from early stage companies, from scaled companies, from investors as you walk the halls here at World Agritech?
This really is one of the most fun events of the year to come to, because it reminds you, as big as agriculture is globally, that it is such a small world, because it's like family. In particular, when you're coming from, you know, to a Friends of Indiana reception, it really is seeing a whole bunch of faces from home. It's been a challenging couple of years in the agriculture sector. The crop protection market has been challenged. We've had, I'd say, volatile commodity prices. And yet you come to an event like this and you're reminded about the fact that this is well beyond any given cycle. You know, this is a sector that's been around for years and years and years. You know, we're here with fifth, sixth, seventh generation farmers in some instances, and there is always a continued energy and excitement about bringing new technologies to the front to help farmers produce more with less, regardless of what the political environment is, regardless of where you are in a commodity cycle. So it's, I think it's an energizing place to be, and everyone's thinking not about the next, you know, the next quarter, the next year. They're thinking about the next 5, 10, 20 years and how we continue to deliver innovation to ag.
That horizon, that longer horizon, Rob, are you hearing and feeling the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Momentum is always high. Refreshing is the great word. I mean, it is. I've been to this event probably 7 or 8 years, and it is always a reunion tour. It's, you know, you rarely make it in the sessions. It's everything happens in the hallways. But I do think we're at a tipping point for investors, to be fair. You know, I think we're seeing some questions on what are the big ideas, you know, what's going forward. We've got to innovate beyond just yield. You know, so there's a lot of questions, I think, from the investment community as well. But the enthusiasm is super high. You know, like Brooke said, regardless of the political, you know, winds that are out there right now, there's the definite need for innovation in ag. And this is a place where you can kind of see where it's going.
Well, Brooke, you just stepped off stage, had a conversation about innovation, which
That's
is
right.
Very, very appropriate. As we look at World Agritech, you've taken a really unique approach. You, Chuck, the team at Corteva, really looking at organic growth, clearly, inorganic growth, making direct investments through Corteva Catalyst. Going to give us a perspective as you think about this new approach to R&D, this new approach to advancing innovation. How do you balance internal, external? How do you do that in the context of the current environment?
Well, fundamentally, we're in the business of getting new technology into the hands of growers to help them to have more tools in their tool belt to solve the pressing issues facing all farmers, which is, you know, driving yield and productivity gains year after year in the face of increasingly severe weather, drought events, increasing pest pressures. So I think we've realized that as a company that is focused day in, day out on delivering new science and technology, that even though we spend $4 million a day in research and development, we can't do this by ourselves. It's not possible. No one company can do this by itself. And so I think we've developed a really nice complement where we're still, you know, have our $1.4 billion a year we're spending in research and development, but through our Corteva Catalyst platform, which is really our external innovation arm, we're finding new and, I think, flexible and strategic and creative ways to be partnering with early stage companies, with universities, with research institutions, with nonprofits, all with the goal in mind of trying to figure out how to get technology developed faster into markets faster, into the hands of growers faster. So we're taking the approach of let's start with the technology and see if there's common ground. And then we find creative ways to meet, I think, entrepreneurs and investors where they are. So we're doing early stage equity investments. We're looking at joint ventures. We're looking at distribution agreements. It's not a one size fits all approach. And I think what we're doing is logical in this kind of stage of agriculture's evolution, where we all have to get more creative because it's not easy out there. Farming isn't getting any easier every single day, and we all have to ultimately demonstrate a return of capital to our shareholders as well. So how do we collaborate more effectively across all different stages and sizes of companies and institutions in the sector? So I'm proud of what we're doing.
That approach, super different from what we've seen from other bigs. Even what we've seen in the macro market, PitchBook shares that last year, venture capital rounds for all venture capital down roughly 30%, flatter down rounds. All venture capital is flatter down. Ag tech has been down on a deal count basis every quarter since Q1 22. As you look at this, you're advising big companies, middle market companies, small companies even. How are you advising them in this navigating a really tough equity market in a really challenging, turbulent ag market?
Yeah, of course, it depends on the role you're in, right? Brooke said something that I think is absolutely vital, which is don't go it alone. You know, this is now moving into an environment where, you know your supplier and your supplier's supplier, and know your customer and your customer's customer. You know, if you're only looking to your right and your left, you're missing something that could be a major indicator of where your business could be headed. You know, so don't go it alone. You describe my role as ag and food. We take a view as it's a system. You know, and there's just so many primary actors, secondary actors, and, you know, a butterfly effect on one end on the consumer can drive a whole bunch of change all the way back to the farm. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about MAHA and some of these other things at some point, you know, but what's happening in the consumer world right now has tremendous forecasting of what our future farming could look like. So I think that's part of it. I think the other side, Mitch, is you got to continue to diversify, find the right investor consortiums. Very few folks in the ag tech world want to go it alone. You know, so let me find a few that'll go in with me. You know, I think that's key. And then if you are pitching an idea, make sure your use cases are strong. There's a lot more scrutiny on use cases now than you know, say 5 years ago when we saw, you know, record highs in the ag tech space.
Yeah, getting to something that drives net cash farm income, absolutely essential. It's fun. You talk about going it together. I just saw Iron Nation, a Israeli ag tech venture fund, talking with Tom from Corteva Catalyst.
That's fantastic.
And talking with IBI Ag, one of their current co-investments together. Brooke, you've made it very clear that you have really finite focus on what you want to see in terms of areas of innovation as you look to deploy capital, deploy resources as part of a broader Corteva strategy. What areas are interesting to you right now?
So we do. We are finite. We think that you have to make choices in order to do certain things really well. You can't choose to do everything at once because then you don't do anything well. So the places where we're really focused, where we see traction and excitement from farmers, seed technology continues to be the number one most important decision that a farmer is making every single year. It's the only technology that delivers year over year consistent yield benefits to the growers. So we're really focused on new genomic techniques, including things like gene editing, that have the ability to really transform agriculture almost beyond what biotechnology did, where we'll be able to accelerate the pace of delivering yield gains to farmers and start tackling issues in the seed, like, you know, disease protection that we've never been able to accomplish with biotech. So that's really exciting. Biologicals and natural products. Certain regions of the world, like Brazil, there's already 30-35% adoption from Brazilian farmers, and they don't think about it as an exchange, like an if not traditional chemistry than biologicals. It's working together as integrated pest management and plant health systems in ways that promotes greater plant strength and resiliency, and also can extend the life of traditional chemistry. So we see that as really important. We're targeting $1 billion of revenues in the biological space by the end of the decade. So that's a big one for us. biofuels, new biofuels value chains. We've announced a couple of important partnerships over the past couple of years. We have a partnership with Bunge and Chevron around winter canola. We expanded that this year. We're on 35,000 acres. It's exciting because it's a new revenue stream for farmers.
Yes.
In addition to helping to scale up the feedstocks for biofuels, particularly for things like sustainable aviation fuel. And then we have an MOU with a planned joint venture with British Petroleum that's more global in nature, again, focused at scaling up novel feedstocks for the SAF market there. So those are three big ones amongst others that we're focused on. We're also constantly looking at new technology platforms. We don't think about stuff from a software as a service and kind of, you know, the farmers paying money for digital technology. At Corteva, we think about it as enabling tools, but new technologies, including the ability to use AI to accelerate the pace and the precision of R&D, hugely powerful to be able to screen massive amounts of material now more efficiently and find those new targets that will drive, you know, step change in yield and seed technology. Amazing. And then also technologies that help us, frankly, deliver and prove the value to growers more effectively on the seed, crop protection, and biological products that we're selling or solutions we're selling to them. So those are four big ones for us.
What are the big ones for you, Rob?
Yeah, I'll second the new genetic techniques, particularly CRISPR. I mean, I've been bullish on CRISPR since it came on the scene. I think we're just now starting to see that it's opening up. You know, we've seen our first approved CRISPR fish in Japan. We're seeing, you know, potential transplants from genetically edited, you know, pigs into humans for tissues and organs. I mean, the opportunity is pretty phenomenal. Regulatory seems to be moving at a little bit slower pace in certain parts of the world, so we get that figured out. I think you could see tremendous innovation. So I'd second the CRISPR thing in a big way. I think the other ones is we've got to figure out the labor immigration issue, and then where does robotics fit in? Is it purely a supplant of lack of labor, or is it an augmentation of labor? You know, and so I think robotics and automation is a tremendous opportunity, not just upstream to the farm. I think it's downstream to QSRs and grocery and food service and all of that. So I think it's a, you know, that's the other big opportunity. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say something about intelligence, whether it's pure analytics or all the way to artificial machine learning and all that. I think that's yet to be figured out. You know, I hear a lot of use cases, a lot of ideas, and I've not seen one that doesn't provide some value to farmers or people in the value chain. So I do think we're going to see a, you know, AI thing come to life here, you know, pretty soon.
As we see that come to life, we'll have to take a look at what the future looks like and how we navigate a really turbulent economy. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience from San Francisco and World Agritech, talking with Brooke Cunningham, Chief Strategy Officer at Corteva, and Rob Dongoski, partner of the Food and Agribusiness Practice at Kearney. Friends, we've been talking about all of the innovation, what's ahead, but I think we have to recognize the reality in which we're operating. Commodity prices still, at least in row crop, roughly cost of production is about market price. We see tariffs and trade on again, off again. We see cost of debt, what, 2.5 times what prime was 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Really tough economy. Brooke, you are leading strategy for the largest pure play ag company in the world, in perhaps one of the most uncertain times in modern history. How do you create clarity amidst all the noise?
We have to focus on things well beyond the quarter and the year. The great part about strategy is it isn't something that you reset every year or even every 3 years. You make choices around the areas where you feel like you can deliver the greatest value to your end customers, and you go at those choices hard and throw everything you have behind it. So it is a complicated market environment between the geopolitical dynamic. Obviously, we've got an interesting and complicated tariff situation that we'll all watch unpack over the course of the coming months and years, most likely. We continue to have real challenges and complexity associated with our regulatory frameworks. It's not going to get easier, though. So I think the key to being successful in this space is that you can't get bogged down in what's happening month to month. We have to stay focused on just continuing to make the investments that we need to make in order to deliver incremental value creation to farmers year after year, and keep your heads down. Then the rest of it is something that farmers, particularly in the U.S., but certainly around the world, this is not new to them. We've endured and navigated very successfully through lots of different changes over time. Trade routes resets, things end up, getting worked out ultimately. So it's a long game. It's a long game for us.
Rob, what are you telling clients as they come and say, Rob, how do you make sense of all this?
Well, I think Brooke would agree. I think the most important answer to any strategic question is no.
So
it's
so just, true.
it's more important to say what you're not going to do than what you are going to do,
that's
right?
That's true.
But clarity is not possible right now. So that's the fundamental kind of given. And so if you're looking for clarity, stop looking, because it's not going to show up anytime soon. So you have to create a nimble organization. You got to create more flexibility in your organization, from processes, people, capital deployment, your culture, type of people that are looking for change. That's where you have to get to. Scenario planning becomes really, really important right now. Like Brooke said, you don't reset your strategy every year. What are the scenarios? What are the, potential things that could happen over the next 2 years, 5 years that could change the trajectory of your business? How do you make the quick pivots? Large organizations, we'll use a football analogy. I know you're a big Colts fan, Mitch.
Absolutely.
So if you're used to playing the line and going up to the line and you know every play, who you're supposed to block, it's either one person or another. I think everyone's got to play quarterback right now. You got to have an array of plays at hand. You got to be ready to call an audible. It's just a whole new ball game, and I don't see it settling anytime soon. So I think that the folks who create the nimble organizations and are able to pivot, they're going to find the opportunities in this time of uncertainty. I think that's for me, it looks more opportunistic than headwinds.
Brooke, you've been a long time M&A banker, ag banker, looking at the food and ag system at large at Lazard before Corteva. Now, you mentioned that, hey, we've navigated these cycles before.
We have.
Ag has navigated these cycles before. You've seen them, big companies, small companies, navigate these cycles before. How is this different? How is this cycle different?
The overall health of, I think, some of the larger companies in the agriculture ecosystem is challenged right now in a way that I do think is different. And there's a lot of distraction that exists within the large company ecosystem, that it's for very different reasons, within each company, that's making things harder and is creating a logjam from an M&A perspective, where it's an interesting dynamic in M&A, where a lot of times where there are down cycles in an industry, that is the time, to use Rob's word, opportunistic, where you can be opportunistic and go out and look for interesting assets, interesting technologies, because the value disconnect that sometimes can exist in stronger markets sort of comes back to an equilibrium. We're not there in agriculture right now either, because there's a lot of distraction, because there's a lot of noise amongst our Corteva's peer group, certainly around the world. We feel lucky that we have a really strong A-level balance sheet, that we have strategic flexibility to pursue a range of different inorganic options, but it's still always challenging to piece together the right strategic fit at the right time, in the right structure, at the right valuation levels. It's never, M&A is never easy, and it's certainly no different in this market environment.
Yeah, well said. We took a look at six large ag companies. Of course, Corteva was part of that. John Deere was part of that. A number of others. Cash on the balance sheet up about 5% over the last 2.5-3 years. Rob, as you look at sort of that asset reality, as you look at the current macro market reality, how is this cycle different from your perspective from previous cycles we've seen?
Yeah, I think there's some you know, if you think about the food, fiber, fuel kind of mentality, I think you're seeing shifts that are fairly predictable, in at least in the fuel space. I mean, shifting over to SAF is a big shift, but you know, we've seen, you know, those kinds of shifts before. We end up consuming demand, you know, coming off farms, whether it's corn, soy, canola, what have you, right? I think the big shift right now is food. You know, and I think consumers shifting in food, you know, their preferences, you know, because it's not just MAHA. It's, you know, consumer preferences, it's GLP-1 use, it's lots of things that are changing the food dynamic. The ultimate nutrition profile for consumers 10 years from now, I think, looks very different than what we have today. And so I think that is probably one that, you know, creates more uncertainty in the cycles than what I've seen before.
Yeah, the opportunity that food creates, the fact that we're talking about food and this connection to agriculture is a powerful opportunity. It can be a headwind, but I think if we navigate it correctly, it can also be a tailwind. What, 60% of Americans have at least one chronic disease? I saw a study just last week that 75% of Americans surveyed blamed processed food companies for that disease. I mean, you look at this setup and it's real. Brooke, time for one more question. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're sitting here at World Agritech. What's the market look like?
I think we will have turned the corner on the inflection point with biologicals and natural products. I think it will be something that's less of an and-then growth engine and more of a now, and it's big and it's real. We will have seen biofuels, the demand for it potentially double, where hopefully we'll have farmers actually starting to see real traction and real revenue opportunity from being part of stepping up yet again to deliver energy transition to the world. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we have more global acceptance and regulatory approval around things like gene editing, because truly it's, we need it. We need it for food security. We need it for sustainability purposes to make enable farmers to produce more with less. That's my hope 5 years from now. Those three things are much more real and material than they are today.
5-10 years from now, Rob, what do you see?
Well, you could tell Brooke and I hang out a lot together because it's pretty similar, right? So, biologicals, certainly anything that's affecting the consumer in the biological space, I think, is going to be interesting. I think we're going to see more discussions in 5-10 years from now on crops other than corn and soy. You know, we're going to be talking about, you know, fruits, veggies. We're going to talk about specialty ingredients that are sourced elsewhere that could be sourced here. So I think that's one to really watch, and where we can now start to, you know, genetically edit certain crops for longer, you know, shelf life and things like that. We no longer have to use synthetics. That's a huge value there. So I think that would be one. Two would be efficiencies. And I think in there, I think it's robotics and CRISPR again. You know, I think CRISPR makes the R&D process just more efficient. You know, we're talking about cutting 10% of the cost and 10% of the time. It's a massive efficiency play. And then the last one is, we've talked a little bit earlier, is just the pure intelligence space 5-10 years from now. I don't think we can even kind of grasp the concept yet. And then you throw quantum computing on top of it, and then all of a sudden we're in a different ballgame when we think about a lot of these things. So those are my big three.
Huge opportunity ahead. He is Rob Linkoski, partner of food and agribusiness at Kearney. She is Brooke Cunningham, Chief Strategy Officer at Corteva. It has been an absolute honor, a delight, and just a lot of fun to spend time with you both.
It was. Thanks for having us.
Yep. Thank you, Mitch.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience, this special edition. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, while you're online, check us out at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team from San Francisco, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.